It's church time. I'm so glad to be here with you today and just so grateful for all that's been taking place on this campus over the last few weeks. We had the pleasure of baptizing last week. If you were part of our service last week, you knew that we were praying. It was go, no go decision up to the last few minutes regarding baptism, but God gave us beautiful weather. It was so wonderful. 13 people made it. We had 17 slated, but some canceled because of the rain. But 13 people were baptized, and you had a major part in that. So thank you for your partnership with us at church. But yeah, it's okay to celebrate that. This is what we do. This is why we do what we do, right? We celebrate life change, and it's what we pray for, what we ask for, and I just want to also say thank you for your participation in the Reach campaign. Recently, I had came to you and told you about what I believe God's challenging us to do for 2021 and what it's going to take in order to get there, some of the changes and modifications and upgrades to our facility, but also for our outreach campaigns and things we're doing. I had the pleasure of talking with radio station this week, a secular radio station. We're going to be putting some ads on there that are going to just be grapple kind of things. We're going to share a verse from God's word, challenge, ask, what if this is true? Find out more at North Point Church, and we believe that God's word will not return void if we just put it on the radio. And so, your gifts are helping us do that. So we put together a campaign. We said we needed to raise $102,000. And praise God, we raised almost $115,000. And so isn't that awesome? Praise God. Such a big blessing. And I thank you guys for participating in that. I know that that your gifts will be good stewards with those gifts. And use them for the purposes that they were given for. So thank you so much for doing that. Today's topic is a difficult topic, but before I get into it, I just need to ask a qualifying question. Did anyone today bring with them to church any raw eggs? Raise your hand if you have a raw egg that you brought to church with you today. No? Okay, good. The reason I'm saying that is because last time I preached a topic on sexual purity, my car got egged. Like, the pastor's car, my car. Like, are you kidding me? Like, I mean, don't you think God probably saw that? I mean, it was a really weird feeling to walk out to have egg all over your car. And so today, I parked very strategically with every camera we have outside aimed at my car. So we'd have a gentle conversation afterward. No. I'm kidding. But I'm not kidding about the egg, unfortunately. That actually happened. So bizarre. But sometimes this topic can step on toes. And so I want you to hear from me today that we all have times in our lives where we struggle with certain sins. Some of you are struggling right now with sexual impurity, whether it be through pornography or through some other mechanism of sexual immorality. And I just want you to know this is not a condemnation message. This is a message that just wants to offer hope, a message that I want to do my best to speak truth and love, and a message that is absolutely necessary for me to communicate, because my office, through the counseling times that I've had in my office over the last decade of my ministry, it just continues to grow more and more prevalent in the conversation. So often, even conversations about one topic will turn to a disclosure of a sin, and that's happening in male and female alike. It's happening in young and old, teenagers as well as preteens. Parents are coming to me talking to me about how can they deal with their preteenager. This is elementary school kids that are dealing with pornography issues at home, and so very, very troubling topic. And so I'll do my best not to make it graphic, obviously, but I want to talk from God's word as to the problem, as well as our responsibility and how it affects us and how we can get out of it. And so if you're listening today online or you're listening here in this room, know that it's not about condemnation. It's about truth and love, because last week I told you that truth spoken in love ages well. And although this may rub you wrong today to hear from God's word what it's saying, it will age well, I promise for you. The longer you lean into God's word, you will see how this was better. This was a better choice. This was how God's designed it. This is what God desires for you. And so it will age well. And also my goal is to speak truth in love, because I think you'll hear me and you'll listen longer. So oftentimes, I think that when you're used to hearing from churches regarding this topic, it's just kind of bashing over the head on a soapbox, but that's not my intention today. You'll hear me quote many scriptures, and the job of those scriptures is to be able to inform you and to convict you, and then it'll be your responsibility to adjust your life to those things. And so the topic today, we'll cover everything from pornography, to adultery, to premarital sex, to lust, and to other sexual sins and deviations. It covers all those different things. And again, it's not to just a select few people. This is happening in your families and in your neighborhood, in your schools, and in your workplaces. It affects so many people. And so this morning, I wanted to share with you, I began to just kind of search. Let me look at all the verses that deal with sexual immorality and purity and those things. And in my Bible software, I couldn't count how many verses there were. I mean, probably over 100 and something verses. I stopped counting around 50. But just know that God's word's really clear. It's a real problem, and he's been trying to get our attention for a long time on this issue. So why does he warn us so strongly in Scripture about sexual immorality? And one of those things, and probably the key reason, is that it goes against his design. We don't write this down. It goes against his design and his plan for human sexuality. He created sex to be a good thing. He created sex to be enjoyed between a husband and wife. He established that. That was his plan long ago in the Garden of Eden, that a husband and wife would be able to enjoy this moment together. Secondly, is that God warns us so strongly because sexual immorality goes against God's design for the family. It's breaking it down. If a husband and wife ruling and leading over their children is what God's design has been all along. But yet in the culture today, it just seems to be distorted on television and on movies. It continues to get distorted over and over. If you have children growing up in this day and age, their understanding is already getting distorted. And we can see that happening. And number three is that God sees sexual sin as something that maybe you've never heard to refer to before, as idolatry. Now, you know what idolatry is, and we know that God says the love of money can be that. Other things can be idols in our lives. But sexual sin is idolatry. Paul says this in Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. He tells us to put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. The first thing he lists is sexual immorality and impurity and lust and evil desires. You see those things? They're all right here. And greed, which is what? Idolatry. What is idolatry? Idolatry is anything that stands in the way between you and God, that takes your focus and your attention and your effort, your mind and your full undivided attention. God wants to be that person for you. We want to look to God for our source of hope. We want to look to God for our source of comfort, our source of anxiety control, our source of managing our lives. God wants to be front and foremost in our lives. But when we allow anything else in our lives, it becomes idolatry and sexual sin can become idolatry. Paul warns of it. But not just that, is that Satan is using it against you. I talked last week about Satan's plans. Remember what we talked about specifically was disunity and how Satan wants to divide us? And we looked last week, if there's any relationship in your life that all of a sudden was a healthy relationship and now it's just it's cracked, it's fractured. Chances are Satan got his foot in there and you allowed it and he played you guys like a fiddle oftentimes to be able to use our words to be able to create fractures, and we need to tame our tongue. Well, Satan, remember I said last week that he's really crafty, but he's not creative. He uses that strategy over and over and over again in your lives to be able to create disunity in your lives. But he's also using that same kind of philosophy to create lust and desire. He wants you to act upon your lust and your desire because what he's trying to do is fracture your relationship with God. Do you know what the main number one reason Satan uses sexual immorality in your life for? It's not to destroy your marriage, although that's collateral damage. It's not just to destroy your kids, although that helps him even damage further families. It's not just to damage relationships and to shame you and to get you to be embarrassed for the things that you've done. The primary reason that Satan brings sexual immorality into your life is to disrupt your relationship with God. Did you hear me? He wants to disrupt your relationship with God. Why does he care if your marriage fails? Why does he care if your kids go on to do whatever they want to do? Why does he care if your relationships, why does he care if you're embarrassed about the things that was just disclosed about you? Satan doesn't care about that. Those are collateral damages that happen in your life. What Satan does care about is he wants to keep you fractured in your relationship with God. That's what he's trying to do, first and foremost in your life. And if you've ever struggled with a sexual sin, or you're currently right now dealing with something in your life, whether it's an adulterous affair, or whether you have an addiction to pornography, or you're living a lifestyle that's contrary to God's word, there's something inside of you that is fractured, and you can tell there's something wrong with your relationship with God. It is impeding your relationship with God. And that's a clear sign that Satan is winning the battle and creating this disunity between you. We must reel this in and get it under control. Because yes, it will affect your marriage eventually. And yes, it will affect your kids. And not only will it affect your kids, especially if your marriage ends, but most of the time we see it happen that the sins of the parents pass on to their children. And so often kids are a product of what their parents, if their parents have addictions to pornography and sexual immorality, chances are their kids are going to deal with that as well. We've got to reel it in. Because sexual sin not only interrupts the relationship and fellowship with God, it creates this gap between sin, a sinful life, and a holy God. They cannot coexist. They're opposed to each other. You have to ask for forgiveness. And that forgiveness has to be a change of heart, which results in a change of direction. It's not enough to simply say, Lord, I'm sorry for doing that again. You've got to have a change of heart, which results in a change of direction. Because this is a war. This is a battle. It's a war actually against your soul. Did you know that 1 Peter 2:11, it tells us this? Dear friends, I urge you, as foreigners and exiles, to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Not only is it something that's happening where it's creating a wedge between you and God, a relational wedge between him, but it's actually waging war against your soul. And we're going to see in just a moment how it actually wages war against your body. Because the truth about sexual immorality is that sexual sin, has an insatiable appetite. What does that mean? Well, it means it's never fully and finally satisfied. That no matter what you do with sexual sin, is that it's going to continue to get worse. And it'll continue to drive you further. The cravings will call more and more. It'll drive you further down and farther away. It is just something that wraps on you and begins to pull on you, and it pulls you down and down and down. It is never fully and finally satisfied. It's not just one more time. It's like a drug. Many of you won't take drugs to try them because you're afraid of getting addicted. But so many people have waded into the pool of pornography thinking this isn't going to hurt, but man, it is a deeper drug, and it drags you further and farther away, and it wages war against your relationship with God, and it wages war against your soul. Man, it's a powerful thing, and Satan, boy, he's crafty, but he's not creative. He uses this against so many people. I can't tell you how many people that we had a marriage here yesterday on property. It was such a beautiful thing. And as we go through marriage counseling, we always remind them of the danger of infidelity and the danger of pornography. And boy, there's just this beautiful look in each other's eyes. It won't happen to us. It won't happen to us. But man, it happens to so many people. So how do we get from, man, we love each other and this will never happen to us, to how do we get to those moments where it does? It's that we are dragged away sometimes by our evil desire, and it gets us. We've got to protect ourselves. Satan will bait you in. He always baits us in. Man, it's okay. It's fine. You need this. It's okay. No one's looking. This isn't going to hurt anybody. He baits us and he tempts us in. But then after he does that with justifications, and then he blames and bashes you. Have you ever had that happen? Have you ever fallen victim to one of Satan's schemes in maybe one of these areas of your life? How you feel after it's over, and after you feel like, oh my gosh, I really screwed up, because Satan's just condemning you. He baits you in, says everything's going to be okay, you need this, this is right, and then he bashes you over the head and condemns you. This is his model. This is how it works. He baits you in, and he bashes you, and he blames you. We got to guard ourselves from it. Sexual immorality, it also brings great damage to your marriage. If you're married in the room, you need to remember that sexual immorality robs intimacy with your marriage. God has wired you up to be intimate with only one person, and that's your spouse. We need to be preserved and waited for with marriage. Sexual immorality will rob the intimacy with your spouse. If you're dating, and even if you're not dating and you're married, write this down. Purity paves the way to intimacy. If you want your sex life to be better with your partner, be pure. so that the object of your affection is to only one person, and you will see the joy increase. This is hugely important for dating couples, because many of you are going to be dating for a long time, and you found someone you love, and you just want to marry them, and that's great. But purity is going to pave the way to a healthy marriage and to intimacy in marriage. God's word is very, very clear on this regarding premarital sex. Hebrews 13:4 says the marriage is honorable in all. And the way I memorized it, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed is undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers God will judge. He will judge sexual immorality. And so we've got to protect our beds. We have to protect, because when we're married, God allows us to enjoy that moment together. But when we're not married, God says it's a sin for us to do that. And this is where I probably got my car egged over this issue. Because there's some people in the room, maybe even right now, and the girl's going, yeah, you know what, we need to stop doing that. And the guy's like, I think we need to change churches, you know. And look, it gets hard. And I'm not. And look, I don't. I know that this is an issue that you and your girlfriend or boyfriend need to talk about. But just to understand that God's word is telling us that there's something wrong with that type of relationship, and we need to fix it. And like, well, we're not getting married for 2 years. Well, make this decision right now that we're not going to have sex, and you'll probably get married in 6 months. You know, you might want to speed it up. It's okay. Wouldn't you rather tear up all the save the date invitations and move the wedding up than continue to live in something that's contrary to God? Did you hear me in truth and love there? I'm not trying to get in your business. But the bottom line is, I can't talk about this issue. Yeah, it's easy to talk about porn. It's easy to talk about sexual deviations. It's easy to talk about all those things. But the thing that the church oftentimes just kind of skims over is this issue. And I'm your pastor and I'm your friend, and I have a responsibility to make sure that you hear it from me and from God's word. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed is undefiled. But fornicators, adulterers, sexual immorality, God will judge. It says he will judge. I don't want God's judgment in my life. So this is an area that's important to pay attention to. I don't want pornography in my life because it wages war against my soul. I don't want sexual morality in my life because it disrupts my relationship with God. There's all kinds of incredibly smart reasons for you and I to get this right in our life. Because sexual immorality, not only does it pave the way to intimacy, it's a terrible substitute for intimacy. It's a counterfeit. It does not fully and finally satisfy. It is worthless. It's a betrayer. Sexual sin also is, it seeks to blame others. And if you've ever fallen victim to this, you've heard yourself probably say one of these justifications. Well, you know, it's her fault, you know, or, you know, she left me, or he left me, or he hurt me, but I was just so lonely, and I was just all by myself, and I was just so broken, and I was so alone. I'm just so stressed out, and I don't have any other releases in my life. And if she would just show me more affection, or if he was kinder to me, if she would listen to me, well, my wife never does this, and my husband always does that. There's the never and always things that play in. Boy, if you ever heard that tape running in your mind, I'm telling you, Satan is using it to bait you in, and he will beat you over the head with it once you cross that line. And it will be somebody that you'll meet in the gym, some lady that's just really pretty, and she's working out, and she talks to you, and suddenly, the next thing you know, you're interested in her. Or some that guy in that gym, and he just looks so good on that treadmill, and you start talking, and next thing you know, he's listening to you like your husband never listens to you, and suddenly Satan begins to play this game. Or you're at home alone in a private place, and you begin to click and wander in places that you shouldn't have gone. Man, Satan is crafty, but he's not creative. He is baiting you in order to bash you over the head and blame you on the other side. This sexual sin is a dark thing, and it grows in darkness. Sexual sin grows in darkness, but it withers and it dies in the light. Isn't that interesting? This is the one thing that doesn't thrive in light. When sexual sin is exposed to the light, it dies, it withers, but it will grow as a vine that will wrap around you over and over and over again, dragging you away further down and farther away from God, asking you for more, deeper cravings and darker cravings. That's why people move into darker and harder things on the internet until they end up getting arrested. Boy, it's a terrible, terrible thing. Sexual sin's a vine that grows in darkness and withers in the light. We need to bring it into the light. What does that mean? It means first you need to expose it. You need to talk to God about it. If you're married, you need to talk to your spouse about it. If you're a child at home, you need to talk to your parents about it. If you have someone in your life that's an accountability partner, you need to disclose it to them if you're single and living on your own. But you can't do this alone. Bring it into the light and allow God to begin to heal you and to change you. I'm going to read to you a verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, that tells us that sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. So not only does it disrupt your relationship with God, and not only does it wage war against your soul, it's actually a sin against your whole body. Listen to what it says in verse 18. Run from sexual sin. This is Paul talking. Because no other sin, did you hear what I said? No other sin. What did Paul say? No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. You mean this is the sin, like no other sin is worse than this as far as affecting the body? What about drugs? What about alcohol? What about all this? Well, according to Paul, no other sin so clearly affects the body as this one. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. Well, I'm not hurting anybody. I'm not hurting anybody. Man, Paul's telling you differently. There's no other sin that hurts your body like this one. No other sin affects it. 2 Peter says sexual immorality wages war on the soul. And we've already learned that it disrupts our relationship with God. So much at stake when we allow this to creep into our lives. And the Bible gives us many verses, and I want to read several to you as we close our service out here in just a moment. And maybe one of these verses is what God wanted you to hear today and you needed to hear. Again, I could have picked over 100, but these are a few that I thought God wanted me to share. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 and 5. It talks about God's will for our life, which we pray for a lot. We all pray for God's will. God's, what's your will for my life so I can do? Here's one of the ways you can be in God's will for your life. It is God's will that you should be sanctified. How? That you should avoid sexual immorality. Are you in a situation right now where you need God to direct you, whether it be right or left in a big problem that you're having? And you want to hear from God because the stakes are high? Well, let me encourage you. If you're living a life that is sexually immoral in any behavior, you're going to have a hard time understanding what God's will is left or right for you. The first thing we need to do is get this right in our life, because it's God's will for your life not to live in sexual immorality. That each of you should learn to control your own body, verse 4 says, in a way that is holy and honorable. Verse 5, not in passionate lust like the pagans do who do not know God. If you call yourself a believer, we have a big responsibility to align our lives up in this area of our life. Jesus says in Matthew 5:28 that we should guard our eyes. But it wasn't just a casual comment of the way he said, guard our eyes. He would say it in a way that would make us all swallow hard when we heard it. And he would say these words, but I say to you, anyone who even looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So you're saying my eyes just looking and lusting at someone is equivalent to adultery? I'm not saying it. Jesus is saying it. There must be something to what's happening inside our heart and our mind when we allow our eyes to lust upon another person. This goes for men and for women, I'm sure. Jesus uses a woman as the illustration. James 4:7 talks about our ability and our opportunity to resist temptation, because temptation will happen to every one of us. As a matter of fact, he tells us, humble ourselves before God and resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. He's telling you you can resist. Well, how do we do that? 1 Corinthians 10 says, the temptations in your life, they're no different from what others experience. Everyone goes through temptations. You're not by yourself here. Everyone has to face the same ones. And God is faithful. He will not allow temptation to be more than you can stand. And when you're tempted, he's going to show you a way out so that you can endure. Hear me so clearly. This is so important, that God will show you a way out of every temptation, but you have to look for it and take it. And it's usually incredibly fast, the opportunity you have. You hear me clearly, that Satan will tempt you, and he's going to be relentless in that temptation, and God is going to give you a way out. And sometimes it's a little blink, a little moment, a little hesitation inside your heart that says, run, baby, run. And you've got to listen, and you have to run, and you have to know where the exit is before that happens, or you will just stall too long, and it will pull you down. The best illustration I can give you is these fire exit signs that we have in our building. We've all been on airplanes. We've all been in movie theaters. One of the first things they say at the beginning of the show or on a movie is or an airplane is they tell you where the exits are. And we're all like, I don't know where the exits are. I don't really want to look. But you still look because you're like, well, just in case I'll look. Okay, there's my closest exit. But understand, here's how this happens. If in this building, all of a sudden there would be a fire on stage here, you know, and you immediately saw like there was like a fire, like that's trouble. Everyone in the room would immediately begin to go out one of the exit doors. You're like, I'm out of here, I'm out of here. And if you have kids, you go get your kids, and you'd save your family, you'd save yourselves, and you get the heck out of here as quick as possible. What I promise wouldn't happen is you wouldn't pull out your phone, and you wouldn't start videotaping while the curtains behind me just go up in smoke and its glorious, you know, pyrotechnics display, and as the toxic fumes would begin to stir across the room, you wouldn't be trying to videotape it. You would be getting out as quickly as possible. Now, what happens in a fire is that fire begins to build smoke and noxious gas, right? And where does that gas go? It travels up, and eventually it would fill the room up with this gas and with this smoke, and eventually you wouldn't be able to see the exit signs. And eventually you wouldn't know how to get out if you didn't know where they were. And the same thing happens with you in your private places where sexual temptation is coming after you, is that there's this moment in time that spark comes on, and that's the moment you run for the door. That's the moment you get out. But if you delay, quickly your mind will fog up with smoke and you will lose your clarity and your ability. It will override your decision to make a wise choice, a godly choice, a moral choice, a God-honoring choice, and it will lead you across the line and you will end up breaking your commitment to God and breaking your heart. Satan will bait you in and then bash you over the head with it. And I'm telling you that because countless people, male and female, young and old, will come to our offices weeping and crying over these issues. And we hear it so, so much. And it breaks our heart because we know that you are inundated and I am inundated. Anytime we're using any type of technology, it's there. The world that we live in is dark, and they are trying to bring everyone across that line. Why would he do it? Satan wants us to disrupt our relationship with God. If your family's hurt in the process, if you're hurt in your process, your kids are hurt in your process, well, whatever. I want to disrupt your relationship with God. Satan wants to wage war against your soul. Satan knows that this is no greater sin affects the body as a sexual immorality. It is just a toxic thing. It wages war against our soul. Mark 7, 21 and 22 says that from within the person's heart comes evil thoughts and sexual immorality and theft and murder and adulteries and greed and deceitful, lustful desires, envy and slide and pride and foolishness. In this list of things that are listed, many of those things you don't get trapped in, you can get out of. I mean, we can pull ourselves out of pride. We can pull ourselves out of theft. I don't have to murder somebody. You can turn from these things. You don't have to fall victim. Next week, we'll be talking about addiction because this is an area that's a big addiction, but there's so many other addictions. And how do we deal with it? We're caught in addiction. Hopefully, you're not caught in a pornography addiction or something in sexual morality, but if you are, next week's going to be really practical to help you in that regard as well. But from within. So we got to figure out what is it that's within and how can we capture that? How can we reel it back in? We have to run from sexual sin. Again, it says in 1 Corinthians 6 that no other sin so clearly affects the body. But keep reading with me for a moment. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? It's not just your body. Paul says, you don't belong to yourself. For God brought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. So, so important for us to do. So how do we put this into practice? What do we do? If you're trapped in it right now, the first thing you got to do is cry out to God. If you're caught up in pornography, cry out to God. If you're in a relationship right now and you're like, I want to honor God in our relationship. I really see a future. I really see that we're going to make things work, and I think we're going to be a great married couple. You want a great testimony. You want your kids, when they ask you these tough questions, to be able to say, we honor God in our relationship. How do we do that? We cry out to God for help, and we admit that it's a problem. The first thing we have to do is start communicating back with God. Remember, it was the first thing Satan wanted to do is disrupt that communication. So your way back is to start the dialogue back again. God is waiting for you to break the silence on this issue and to talk to him and bring it out into the light, because that vine will continue to grow until it does. So bring the conversation up to God and say, Lord, I need your help. I've got to get through this. And so he's going to say, well, how badly do you want help? What are you willing to do? And you'll say, whatever it takes. And he says, are you willing to turn from it? Are you willing to walk away from it? Are you willing to run from it? What he's asking you is, are you ready to repent? Repentance is a change of heart which results in a change of direction. It means more than just saying, I'm sorry for this sin and I'm going to go back and do it. It means I'm sorry enough that, you know what, God, I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm going to turn and flee. So you cry out to God for help, and you repent and you turn. And then you learn how to resist the devil's temptation, because God always shows you a way out. Plan your exit and then work your plan. Have a plan and work your plan. God will help you every time. The next thing you need to do is don't feed the monster. You have to starve it. Because it will take a while for it to die. And why is that? Well, I teach my kids early on in their young days that you can't unsee what you've seen. You can teach that in a funny way, but it also applies in pornography and those things. You can't unsee that stuff. And it takes time for your mind to overwrite those things, and you have to continue to feed it with what's true and noble and right and pure and lovely and admirable, excellent and praiseworthy, setting your mind on things that are above until it can begin to override some of that stuff that just you allowed as toxic stuff into your brain and your thinking. You have to starve it. But once you starve it, you've got to make sure you stop it, because even a small meal will keep that monster alive. The smallest of meals will keep that monster alive. Next, we have to guard our eyes and our minds and our hearts. We've got to put protections in place in order to do that. We have to fortify those places that were weak. If you struggle with these areas, you've got to guard your heart. If you struggle with infidelity, you fell in the past, or you have someone at the office that just looks so attractive and you feel attracted to them, and you've got to avoid them and put barriers of protection. Never be alone with that person. Don't disclose confidential information. Don't talk about your relationship at home. Don't do anything that's going to feed that. You've got to get away from it. If you struggle with pornography, avoid idle times and limit your private times. Don't disable private browsing on your devices. Don't be in locked rooms. Don't stay up well after everyone's gone to bed. These are the times where you can fall into those dark places. It's interesting that most people have this type of sinful behavior in the dark hours. This grows best in darkness, but it withers and dies in the light. You have to fortify anywhere. Anywhere else that you've fallen into this trap, put fortifications in there. And parental controls are very good, and they're wise. I think it's good for parents to put parental controls on their kids' devices. But hear me clearly. If you just put parental controls on their devices and don't teach them why you're doing that, the why behind what happened, I'm restricting your phone because here's why. When it's appropriate for you to have these conversations, you need to let them know. This is the why behind the what. Because it disrupts your relationship with God. There's no other sin that affects the reality like this one. It wages war against you. It will destroy not only your family, it'll destroy your marriage. It'll destroy you from the inside out, and Satan is winning a victory in your life. You have to teach them the why behind the what, because eventually they're going to figure out the password. They're going to get some software or some new phone that you can't figure out. They're going to be smarter than you, and they're going to find themselves around it. They're going to be in college one day in a private dorm room without your protection. And if they don't know the why behind the what, they're going to fall victim to this. And it may be years before someone will have the courage, or before they get the courage to confess this sin in their life. We've got to help protect them. We can't shield their eyes forever. Good grief, you can't watch television without being offended these days. We've got to teach our kids the danger of this type of sin. Because it's getting younger and younger, man, to navigate it. And so, unfortunately, we have to have the conversations, and that's why I'm speaking to you about it. And lastly today, we need to yield to the Holy Spirit's control. Remember a few weeks ago, I told you that the Holy Spirit is omnipresent and omniscient, which means he's everywhere and he knows everything. And so remember that in those quiet places, in those dark places. Remember the Holy Spirit's with you and he knows what's going on. And maybe it'll change your behavior if you just stop enough to think about that. As I said earlier, I'm uncomfortable talking about the topic. But I have to, because it's so much easier. I'm realizing even standing here right now, it's so much easier looking into a group of people in general terms and talking about how hard this is and how dangerous it is and how bad it is than sitting across a husband and wife who this is just blown up in their face. And I wonder if they're going to be able to get through it. Because her skin crawls every time he touches her, or he thinks that she's betrayed him, or whatever the case is. And listen, if you have fallen victim to this, this isn't a time in this message, it may feel like it's inciting some tension between you. And I know that maybe even listening to this online, there's some of you online right now that have had infidelity in your marriage and you're restoring. And Satan would love to take this message and bring up those old hurts. But if God is doing a great work in your marriage and restoring your marriage even after adultery, or restoring your marriage after sexual immorality is blown up, if God is doing a great work there, do not fall victim to Satan's plans and begin to fight again. This should not be bringing up old wounds. It should be bringing up the victory that God's doing in your life. I know that it's hard to hear it sometimes because it reminds you of the past, but just because this message today doesn't mean you're living back in that past moment. Husband, continue to stay pure. Wife, continue to stay focused. Focus on forgiving each other and leading through it. Because this is a real issue, not just for you guys, but it's a real issue for other people, and we need to help other people avoid the problem. I love you guys too much not to talk about it, and I wish so much that we could just get our heads together and fix this, but it's going to take a lot of work on your behalf in order to guard your heart and protect your mind. So often I get asked this question. People say to me, Pastor Steve, well, what do you say to someone who's caught up in a sexual sin, whether they're caught up in pornography or whether they're living a life of adultery or some sexual deviant behavior, and it's just whatever it is, pick your topic. Many people go, what do you say? What do you say? What do you say to a person that's going through that? And my answer is really a pretty simple answer. My answer is asking you a question first. How long do you want to have the conversation with the person that you're talking to? Because if you don't want to have a conversation with them, shut them down and tell them they're a sinner and they're going to hell. I mean, you can shut the conversation down. But I ask that question, how long do you want to have a conversation with them, and what's your motive for the conversation? If your conversation motive is, you know what, my heart breaks for them because I don't think they know the hope that Jesus can give them and the freedom that God can offer them if they could run away from this particular sin in their life. And so what I would encourage you to do is speak the truth in love. Let God's word do the talking and let the Holy Spirit do the work. Do you hear me? It's not our responsibility to change anybody in this area. It's God's responsibility. It's our responsibility to help them understand the truth of God's word. It's our ability to not bring condemnation in that conversation, because if we speak the truth in love, it'll age well. If we speak the truth in love, they will listen long. And the goal for them to our conversation is to help them lead them to a God that they can be reconciled with. Remember, the relationship is fractured with sexual immorality, and we need to bring healing back, and we can be that balm, that healer, by bringing God's word in a beautiful way back to them, in a way that they probably didn't expect, because Satan would want them, as he wants them, to feel like they're beaten up by God's word. Why? To disrupt the relationship even further. We don't want to be a tool in Satan's hand. We want to be a tool in God's hand. So let's rightly divide God's word. Let's speak truth in love. Let's speak truth in love because it ages well and because they will listen longer. And let's pray like crazy for them that God would turn them from this lifestyle. So I don't know if you're caught up in it. Hopefully you're not dealing with that right now in this room today. But if you are, some resources I want to put on the screen right next to me here. And on the screen, you're going to see different resources. One ministry is called Whatever It Takes. Whatever It Takes is an awesome ministry that gives you kind of a 3 or 4 day place you can go to that would give help for men and for women with sexual addiction. That's a really powerful ministry to go to. It costs money to do it. But if you're in a bad situation and you want to prove to your spouse that you're serious about turning, this is a great place to go. Idlewild has some great support groups for both men and women helping you get through this. Celebrate Recovery, as well as something called a Life Guide for Ladies. It's on Mondays. at Idlewild. You can search that at idlewild.org. Life Connections Christian Counseling, a place I go personally. Wonderful people there to be able to help kind of navigate some difficult times in your life. But if you also dealing with, if you have a play, if you need sexual addiction recovery, they've got those type of leaders there as well. Great group of people for all kinds of different counseling needs. There's accountability software called X3 Watch and Covenant Eyes. If you need to pick up those, or maybe you just want to talk to somebody and you're afraid, it's embarrassing and it's hard. If you want to have a non-judgmental conversation, we're not going to bring condemnation to you, but we're just going to offer God's word and truth. You can talk to Pastor Corey, myself, or one of the ladies on our staff. We're confidential, and it wouldn't be our first conversation we've had about this, and so we're here to help you. Don't go it alone, because some of you are trapped. If you feel like this is an addiction in your life, or if you have any type of addiction in your life, come back next Sunday. And if you know someone that struggles with addiction, man, have them come back next Sunday. It's going to be a really great message that I know is going to be practical and will help you not to feed the monster. Let me pray for you, and we'll go home. Father, thank you for this morning, and thank you for the chance to be able to open your word. It's a difficult conversation. It's an adult conversation for sure, but it's not one that we can just glaze over and not talk about. So today we did. And I pray, God, that it won't return void, because your words, from your word, God, were spoken here today. I pray, God, that those who had ears will hear, and that there will be couples in the room that will make adjustments to their lives. There will be individuals that will make adjustments to their lives. There will be men and women who are learning to run and flee and applying the principles from your word to today's, to their life specifically. We pray for that. We pray for that fruit, Father. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.